What if you could spend 30 minutes with the brightest mind of our age? Man, that would be cool. Well, lower your expectations, people. This is the Mediocrities Podcast.
Good morning. Thank you for joining me on my commute to the office for another episode of the Mediocrities Podcast. I am your host, Mediocrities. You know, I'm thinking about how often I'm going to do these things from Studio T here in the truck. You know, I'm not sure. I do like the convenience, and I've got to admit, I have a lot of thoughts as I drive most days. So by doing the show here from the truck while we drive, we get a lot of positives. At least for me, there's a lot of positives. One is being able to kind of put the thoughts out there, you know, while they're going, and they're going somewhere other than just out into space. So I feel like I'm doing something productive while I drive. Secondly, this is one of the few times that I have alone. So I've got several children, as we've discussed in previous episodes. And so, you know, the life of being a husband and a dad, it's busy. So part of my be a pelican is to find the time where I can find it. And my commute to work is typically 30, 40 minutes. So I've got time to kind of think some things. I can hit the memo record button when something hits me, and, you know, we'll see what happens, right? So that's where we are this morning. The third thing, and actually the most practical thing that's happening right now, is that if I'm talking to you about Jesus stuff, because we, you know, let's be honest, that we typically talk about Jesus stuff. If I'm talking to you about Jesus stuff, that keeps me from cursing and flipping off the other drivers on the road. And you're laughing right now, but I'm telling you, one, the drivers out here are insane. But the other thing is, I have a short temper, and it's something that I'm conscious of and I'm trying to work on. So you are helping me to combat the temptation. So I'm trying to put virtue where vice once was. So I appreciate you riding along with me and kind of being my accountability partner, because in about 5 minutes, I'm going to be on the main drag, and, you know, all this clicking and cracking. And by the way, I'm sorry for all that. That's the downside of driving in this thing and recording. It's a 2003 truck. Okay. I'm driving an 03 Lincoln Navigator, and you're saying, yeah, no, that's not a truck. It's built basically on the same frame as a Ford F-150. So you're going to get a truck ride out of this. And since it's a 2003, then this thing's going to pop and creak. And unfortunately, you're going to hear all of that because I've got a pretty decent mic that I used to record. So these AirPods are excellent. And since I'm recording these raw, there's not really a whole lot I can do to get rid of the or whatever those, whatever you're hearing. It's plastic rubbing against itself when every time I hit a little dip on these horrible, horrible underfunded roads. So anyway, maybe we'll do an episode on road rage. I can talk all about that. But yeah, you're being my accountability partner on this ride and help me to put some virtue in my life. So I appreciate it. Appreciate you being along for the ride.
Now it is time to journey deep inside the mind of Mediocrities. Please watch your step and keep your hands and feet inside the ride vehicle at all times.
Okay, so I'm back in Studio T. Did I mention that I hate gas? I hate it. This thing holds 26 gallons. And no joke, thanks, U-Haul. And thank you, listener. You kept me from saluting that guy, just almost backed into me. Hey, so I hate fuel. I hate this this current economy that we're in that is giving gasoline distributors an excuse to gouge us. But oh, so first of that guy almost hit me. I gotta give me a second. Anyway, now I'm driving this truck. It's got a 26 gallon fuel tank. This is the first time that I have reached the authorization limit. You know, where the gas pump shuts off because it says, hey, we can't authorize, your credit card doesn't allow us to authorize beyond this amount of gas. Yeah. So, yeah. Gas is so expensive. 26 gallons. You do the math. I didn't get 26. They cut me off before I got to 26. That's how expensive fuel is. So I don't do as much driving as I'd like to. I love driving. This driving around in Studio T here, in which I have named Shadowfax. I'm not sure if I've told you that little mystery. This is Shadowfax. That's where we're riding in Shadowfax. And the amazing thing about Shadowfax is that he is strong. Shadowfax is certainly the king of horses. And he is strong and he is fast. He's got a very powerful, powerful engine. And he likes to run. He loves to run. And he will pass everything on this street except a gas station. Because he is thirsty. So I try. I've got my miles per gallon up. I've been able to raise it just through, you know, kind of feathering the gas and not just being silly and racing people. I've got my miles per gallon in this truck up to 12. Let's think about that for a second. Let the math sink in. 26 gallon, 12 miles per gallon. Now you see why I don't drive very much anymore. But getting around town and even getting out on the open road, this thing's actually pretty good. On the highway, I'll definitely get better than 12. But in the city with all the stop and go and driving with people just like you, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, I see you there. Mm-hmm. My listeners see you too through my mouth. They see you. So let's talk about charisms. Maybe you have had some experience with charisms in your past, in your parish where you live or where you grew up. So charisms, if you'll read through the letters of St. Paul, actually he mentions this in two or three places. Once kind of indirectly, but a couple of times provides lists. And he does so in the context of building up of the church. The church is made of many members, many parts. And so we think of ourselves as part of the body of Christ, right? And so St. Paul even takes that concept and uses a human body, right? And he talks about some people are upset that they're not a different body part. You know, there are people that are the hands. There are people that are the feet. There are people that are the eyes. Guess what, folks? There are people that are the appendix. There are people that are the buttholes. And before you start putting someone in the name, I'm not thinking of that in a pejorative way, but I'm talking about what our buttholes do, okay? For the purpose of the body, not for the purpose of insulting. But as you can probably imagine, some parts are a little less savory than others. Right? Everybody wants to be the mouth. Everybody wants to be the one that's talking. Or everybody wants to be the one that, you know, gets some attention or gets some positivity. The people in the background don't really get that, do they? And so there's a temptation to want the flashier stuff, you know. Well, the same is true with gifts in our giftedness. Some people they want that gift where they're teaching, where they get some public acclaim. They don't like it so much that they're the ones that sometimes they can resent their position, that they don't get more accolades or more things. But look, understand this about gifts. Spiritual gifts have nothing to do with credit. They have everything to do with cooperating with the Holy Spirit and living our best life. Honestly, I know that sounds kind of like a trite thing. Everybody says living your best life. Let me explain to you a little bit about how charisms work. Maybe it'll make more sense. So, charisms are not talents. They are not skills. They're separate from that. And I would like for you to think of charisms more as a battery, an energizing. I almost said quickening, but I don't think I can really apply the Highlander to this. It probably will come up later. But it's an energized feeling that we get, a sense. I say feelings. Feelings are mysterious. But when we're cooperating with our purpose, the way that God has wired us, the way that He has gifted us, which includes personality and all that stuff, but especially for the purpose of building up the church, these charisms show up. And I'll give you some examples so you can see it, but so you know kind of the difference. You may be singing in the car, okay? So you've got your music cranked up, and I've been listening to a lot of Radiohead lately. So let's say I'm singing some Radiohead, and I'm going along with Radiohead, and there'll be some times where because I'm such an amazing singer, right, that when you're singing in the car, sometimes you hit that note just the same way that the musician is hitting the note, and you kind of feel that like we're no longer two voices, but we're one voice, and you kind of have that sense of unity. Do you know what I'm talking about? If you're a bad singer, you probably don't, but since I'm so great, I do, right? And humble, don't forget. But there are just a few times, just a few, because there are, my range is not, my range doesn't mix with most vocalists, but there are times when it does, and I hit the notes the way they hit the notes, and it's just the coolest feeling. I feel like we're one voice, and to me, that's something that appeals to me. When I'm exercising my charisms in the life of the church, when I'm exercising them for the purpose of building up the body of Christ, I sense the same thing, except not with Radiohead, with God. I sense a connection in a way that I only experience in the Eucharist, in the sacrament of reconciliation, and in prayer. That's what that feels like. But I'm not receiving the Eucharist at the time when I'm exercising these charisms. I'm not in confession when I'm exercising these charisms. So then my actions in this, maybe they don't sound like prayer, they don't look like prayer, but the connection with God is like prayer, and it's energizing. So let me give an example of that. So my wife, she has a charism of encouragement. Like I said, St. Paul has a couple of places where he lists these, and I'll put them in the show notes so you can look them up for yourself. My wife has a charism of encouragement. Now, we're all supposed to encourage, right? The thing about charisms is it kind of operates in a way that you are driven. Some charisms you're driven by, right? It's just what you do. It's the most natural thing in the world for you to exercise this, to look at things this way and live this way. Where for some other people, they'll be like, no, I can help you, but it's a little less natural. Encouragement is one of those for me. So we're all supposed to encourage, but my wife is different. Every encounter with my wife, every time we go someplace, there are complete strangers who will just start talking to her. It always happens. It happens in the narthex at church. It happens at the Walmart. It happens at a restaurant. People just start talking to my wife. And later I will always ask the same question that I already know the answer to. Well, I said, did you know them? She'll say, nope. I said, why are you talking to them? They needed someone to talk to. It's natural to her, right? To me, when strangers come up, of course I'm going to be polite. I was taught to be polite, but it's not natural for me. You know, in my mind, I'm thinking, back off, weirdo. But not that is not the way that it works for her. And not just that people come and talk to her, but they share things with her. Like, I'm having a really rough day. That kind of stuff. And when they are done talking to her, they are walking away in a better spot than they were when they started. Now, is that because my wife had all kinds of great wisdom to share with her? Not really. I listen to the conversations. She's just being a kind, listening person. So what's happening in her being willing to cooperate with God's Spirit in exercising that charism is that the Holy Spirit, God, is working through her to minister to that person and build them up, to give them some encouragement. Wow, that room is loud. Does that make sense? That's how the gifts work, that God is giving someone something through you. And when you cooperate with that, you can sense that union. Because it's not, Kimberly's not going to be the one that gets, you know, some trophy for that. She's just going to know and have this the sense of satisfaction of knowing that God used her today in that way. For me, it is not encouragement. That doesn't mean that I don't encourage people. I certainly do try to. Mostly because I've learned from her and some other people. Now, my thing is teaching. So when I do this show, it's like crack for me. Because it doesn't really matter whether I have one listener or 100 listeners. I'm in the practice here of sharing the faith and talking about things of God and trying to build people up, trying to encourage people. I want people to be excited about their faith. I want people to be challenged in their faith and grow. And so when I exercise this, there is an excitement, more than just my excitement when I teach, because that's I do teach. I do a lot of training in my technical role. But there's not always a lot of energy and excitement, not the same energy and excitement that I have when I'm explaining somebody a mystery of the faith. You know, if I'm talking to you about pivot tables and working in Tableau or something like that, yeah, okay. I'm excited just because I like talking. But if you turn around and start talking to me, if you've got a saint medal hanging off your neck or something, or you pull your rosary falls out of your pocket, I would love more to talk about that rosary or who your patron saint might be or something like that. Okay, so there's an energy there. Now, how do you know what is your charism? That, my friends, is a discernment process. Now, you can, if you're Googling right now, spiritual gifts or charism just means gift. It's a Greek word, grace. It's the same word that we use when we talk about grace. So when you are baptized, you receive the Holy Spirit. You receive all of God. God's not divided up into three parts. God is not one thing with three parts. It's one God. So when we receive God the Holy Spirit, God the Son, God the Father, when we receive God in our baptism, then we receive a gift. Now, you don't really, probably not going to be manifesting these things for a while. But most certainly after you're confirmed, in which the Holy Spirit strengthens and seals those gifts that we've received, then things start popping up. Plus, just practically speaking, you know, being a little kid versus being a young adult, things are a little different, right? We have different experiences by then. We've got a little bit of life under our belt. And so our eyes can be open to the point where we start to recognize some stuff. And especially during adulthood. So the first part of the discernment process is learning what the spiritual gifts are. And though the scriptures certainly do give us some listings through St. Paul, I think by looking at the character and the actions of certain persons in the scriptures, especially in the book of Acts and in the Gospels, we can start to see how gifts kind of show up, maybe even beyond the lists that we see in Paul's letters. So one thing that I would recommend you do, because this isn't like take a quiz and you'll know, what your favorite Pokemon character is. No, that's not what we're talking about. It's a discernment process. There's some hypothesizing, there's some testing that is experimentation that needs to happen. But something that I would recommend that all of you do today is to go out to the internets and look up the Catherine of Siena Institute. Catherine of Siena Institute. My friend and acquaintance, Sherry Waddell, she's not going to know who Mediocrities is, don't worry about it. My friend and acquaintance, Sherry Waddell, who's also a convert to the faith, works with the Dominican Order, the Order of Preachers, to help educate Christians on the process of discerning your spiritual gifts. And so they have a lot of materials online and materials you can actually order and look at and procure for yourself and to begin the discernment process. But they also have retreats that they lead or can help facilitate to help you get on this process. Now, I happen to be trained as a presenter for the Catherine of Siena Institute. It's not an official thing. Like, if you call them, they're not going to send you me. This is just some classes that you attend. And so I have been trained as a presenter and also as a trainer or an interviewer. So one of the things that these courses do is help walk your parish through. So you can do this on a broader scale and introduce people to the concept of spiritual gifts. So I recommend that you look into that. And if you want more information on it, then definitely you should contact me, MediocritiesPodcast@outlook.com. I gotta get into the secret bat cave. Hang on a second. All right, so driving into the Batcave. So just to go back to talk a few more things about charisms. Charisms are meant to be given away. They're gifts, right? So this isn't the Catholic flea market where we just resell everything. It's not a fundraiser, so sorry. But it is a gift. It's something that we were freely given. It's something that we freely give away. So like I said, with talents, and sometimes there is overlap of your talents and your personality and your gifts, where you'll notice some similarities, okay? I would love to make my living as a teacher, but economically, that doesn't work for a family of eight. So at least not for me, it didn't, because I started the teaching game way late. Anyway, that's my life story questions. We're not going to get into that right now. But charisms are meant to be given away. That'll be the first thing you notice. And the second thing is that they work, right? When you have a charism, they do what they're supposed to do. And so if you have a charism of encouragement, when the charism of encouragement is exercised, people are, wait for it, encouraged. If you have a charism of intercessory prayer, this, again, these are extraordinary ways. We're all called to pray for each other, but persons with a charism of intercessory prayer, those are the people you want to have on your prayer team. Those are the people that you want to be in, some kind of a watcher on the wall ministry, because when they pray, things happen. Persons with a charism of healing, which is one of those more rare gifts, but persons with a charism of healing, when they come to visit you at the hospital, when they pray for you, you get better. So, and I don't mean get better like they give you a Z-Pack and you recover from your cold faster than you would normally recover. I mean, people are cured from cancer kind of stuff. So those things still happen in the life of the church. Miracles still happen, and God uses his people to accomplish these things. So it's humbling to be part of that process. And it's also very exciting to see God working. And so I would love for everybody in the church to be a part of this building up process, building up one another in love, building one another up and encouraging, exercising our gifts. Because when we do that, we're not wasting our time being rude and breaking each other down and otherwise causing division, which is the next episode we're going to talk about all those people. And, you know, it would be easy for me to say that they're the buttholes of the body. That's not what they are there, because when they're practicing those divisive things, they're operating outside of the church. Okay. So we'll talk about that next time. But for now, I definitely want you to go out to the Catherine of Siena Institute. In fact, I'm going to put a link in the show notes so that you can check it out for yourself and really avail yourself of it. I have run into so many Catholics who have never heard of this concept before. This is a very, very old Catholic practice. Very old as the RCIA, and exercising these gifts. I mean, St. Paul's talking about exercising our gifts, right? So start looking this up and start experimenting, because that's the next part. Oh, let me just say a little bit about that. Exercising our charisms, you don't know what they are. Here's the thing. You're already exercising your charisms. You're probably just not aware of it. And so there, you'll probably, at a church like everybody else, about 20% of the people do 80% of the work in the church. You know exactly who I'm talking about at your church. It's the same people that do all the stuff. And so there are things that those same 20% are doing that they are just, oh my gosh, but nobody else will do it. I guess I'll have to, right? But there is somebody sitting in the pew that is just waiting to be asked, that would love to do that, but they're afraid or whatever. And when they start doing that one thing in that area in which they're gifted, they're going to come alive. They're going to have an energy like, oh my gosh, where has this been all my life? We're like, dude, you've had it in you this whole time, and you've been using it. You just didn't know how to recognize it. Now you recognize it, right? So this is not stuff where you're going to go through the class and say, oh, suddenly I can walk through walls. No, that's not what a charism is. It's not being able to walk through walls. If you discover that there is a charism of walking through walls, please get that on video and send it to me, because that would be, wow. I don't know what practical purpose that would be, but I would just like to see it. Just saying. So before you call Jimmy Akin's Mysterious World, call Mediocrities. Let me have the scoop on the walking through the walls charism, okay? But more likely, then your charism is going to fall in kind of the typical list, the ones that we see more often. So things like administration, helps, shepherding, encouragement, hospitality, craftsmanship, leadership, voluntary poverty. So these are just a couple of ones. But when you're in the Catherine of Siena Institute, Siena Institute can give you some good definitions for those too. Or follow up with me, and I'll I always put my contact information in the show notes. But yeah, when we're all exercising our charisms, we're waking ourselves up to something that God is doing through us, and with that energy will increase our ability to do more. And when we do that too, we can kind of get out of the way of doing the things that we're not so good at, but we're doing because we don't think anybody else can. Let those people exercise their gifts and watch what God does. When people are exercising their charisms and those things that need to get done, cool stuff happens. I'm telling you. I've seen it before in parishes. I hope to see it in my home parish as more and more people get involved with things like this. But I've seen it in parishes before, where everybody kind of gets tuned in. They start discerning this process, or there's this process of discernment. And that basically what it looks like is going to be, after you kind of you identify what some things might be that are your charisms, you're going to pick one. You say, you know what, for the next 3 months, I'm going to observe, I'm going to journal. And I'll say, hey, how many times did somebody or something happen that was an opportunity for me to kind of flex this charism in my life? And what you're going to discern by looking through things like that, looking at the feedback that you get from people around you, and someone says, hey, you were really encouraging today. You know, when you get feedback from people, when you look at your experiences and start paying attention, some patterns start to get recognized. And that's part of that discernment, right? So, you know, I never come to the point where I'm going to say, I know for certain that my charism is this. Because I've also learned that there are times when God will give us a gift temporarily in order to accomplish a purpose, because we're in the right place at the right time. And God says, hey, you know what? He's going to touch us and let us do this. But then it doesn't happen again. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. How blessed is it to be a part of God's work in the life of somebody else and to watch it work? That's my favorite part. When I exercise a charism of teaching, people get what I'm talking about, okay? So it doesn't mean 100% of the time, okay, honestly, because they're in the recipient and the ways. Anyway, that's another talk for another time. But by and large, when I teach, and it's not because I'm just a great teacher, when I teach, people understand what I'm talking about. So I'm making a big assumption that the things that I'm telling you are making sense. And it's not because of the great way that I speak, but it's because God is speaking something to your heart and say, hey, this is something that's really good. And he's basically repeating St. Paul, so he's not a bad guy. And it's resonating in your heart, and you're starting to understand it, not because of mediocrities, but because of God working through this charism, right? So when I get on the phone this afternoon with my friend who has a charism of encouragement, I'm going to feel better about my day. It just happens, you know? So exercising that, we're starting to recognize those patterns. We see what charisms we most likely do have, and we also see those charisms that we most likely do not have. I do not have charisms of patience or mercy. I just don't. But I still need to exercise patience and mercy, because those are things that we're called to do by God. So those with a charism, it's not difficult for them to do those things, and they are able to do that in extraordinary ways. So that's going to be it for today. I encourage you to check out charisms. And if you like the show, if you think, hey, yeah, you're not a bad teacher, and you want to let me know it, I would love to hear from you. Reach out to me at mediocritiespodcast@outlook.com. Or if you use the Anchor app, you can leave me a voice message and I'll respond to you. Love to hear back from you. So that's it for the show today. Hope that you have a great day wherever you're going, wherever you've been, and I will catch you next time. Bye.